yes, I'm a genius. I was born a genius. There's nothing you can do to compete with that. If you have a baby and you like play Mozart for them, it won't help. It's got to just be baked in from the start.
Yeah, yeah, that and a lot of Tylenol. A lot of Tylenol.
So this week's news that I've seen anyway, and it's not necessarily in the mainstream news in America, but the UK pushing digital ID. The Prime Minister says you got to take the digital ID. If you want to work, if you want to get on the subway, or do they have subways there?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, well, I don't know about subways, but public transit, I mean, there's a lot more infrastructure for that than in America.
Pretty much you're going to have to take the digital ID.
Yeah.
And so there's...
In order to live.
You could call it riots. Let's call it a protest, because it's not really a riot to me until it really kicks off.
Well, I mean, until it gets violent.
Yeah, until it gets violent.
Yeah.
I don't think the protest is going to help a whole lot. I think it's going to have to get violent. Now, they're pretty picky there with political violence. I mean, you can post the wrong thing online and go to jail in the UK.
Well, I just want to throw this out. There's power in numbers. This is why the industries fear unions.
I was getting around to that. If there's enough people that get violent...
No, they don't have to get violent. Just don't be complicit. Like you've said before in past episodes, paper money only has value because we play the game. What's a dollar really worth to you?
Well, you know, I'm getting sidetracked mentally because we didn't really mention that we have a show with like 100 episodes. But we're going to post to Rumble this time.
It's called Stun City Limits. If you Google it, you'll find us. Don't do Robin Todd. You might come across two gay guys building a house in Georgia. But
that's not us.
Well, Todd and Rob, we're Rob and Todd. Completely different. And totally not renovating a house.
I'm back to the UK.
Yes.
Surely that's coming to America. America's just not ready for it yet.
Well, if you listen to certain evangelical circles, it's destiny for us. It's called the mark of the beast. Some digital... Basically, it's technology and a lifestyle that they're not used to, so they use fear.
We pretty much already have it with our cell phone.
And we chose it. Keep that in mind. This is something we're supposed to fear, yet our cell phones and everything we knowingly know listens to us and tracks us and markets to us.
Not everybody's chosen it. I know a guy without a cell phone.
Okay. Well, there's obviously exceptions, but they're the minority. You know, that would be the exception, not the rule. Like, you're talking 98%. It's almost nowadays, especially with certain places you go that are cashless, if you don't have a cell phone, kind of like what you're talking about, you can't pay for shit.
Well, the government could still get to his credit card records, and I don't know how much cash he uses when he goes about. You know,
Does he drive a car?
Yeah.
Probably got a registration. So, You know, I mean, it's just...
But the phone does step it up a notch.
It's a computer in your pocket.
To your point, he hasn't crossed that threshold, most people do choose to cross.
Well, I mean, it's out of convenience. Let me ask yourself, how often do you depend on your cell phone?
A lot, and I've thought of ways of how I could even get rid of it, and it's not really possible.
It's not practical, at the very least. I mean, you'd have to change your entire lifestyle, in some cases, even your job, because at my job... I kind of need my cell phone.
Yeah, work relies on it. That's how they get in touch with me. We have a call phone, but when it's time for me to get the call phone, because I'm on a pretty big medical campus, I have to text that phone and say, where can I meet you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know where they're at.
Yeah, it's a communication device above everything else, and it's
the GPS,
valuable.
The two-factor authenticator.
Yeah.
Because even if you don't want two-factor authentication... You're trying to log into your bank or something, and it triggers something that day and forces it, you're going to kind of need the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it would have to kick to email, and where's your laptop, where's your desktop, much less one that you want to log into, because you don't want to log into public access.
Or have you ever tried the phone option? I did that once by accident.
Where they call you?
Yeah. Boy, that's a roundabout process.
It is, and they give you so many warnings before they finally give you the code.
And it's just kind of like, you know we could text you this, right?
So digital ID.
I mean,
they're calling it that. Oh, one more step further. The European Union said that Americans will not be able to travel to Europe without it.
Oh, you mean it's like a digital passport?
Yeah, everything will be tied to it.
Yeah.
It's going to have your medical records. It's going to have your
search
search history online. I mean,
It sounds like the red tape we cross is now just becoming a digital red tape. Instead of a passport, you'll need the digital ID. Instead of a driver's license, digital ID. Credit card, digital ID. Employment badge, work badge, digital ID.
Someone's going to have the database with all that in one place, though. And then it becomes a question of who has access to it. I'm sure it's a tiered access system. But it kind of sucks.
Dude,
we've
already crossed that line. We've had a billionaire, not even American, look at all of our Social Security numbers and tax history. I mean, that alone is kind of like, all right, what are we trying to protect again?
He's talking about Elon Musk when...
Doge, Yeah. By the way, what was the point of Doge? Because we just added $1 trillion to the national debt in, what, 3-4 months? That's the fastest ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to point that out if anyone's watching the debt meter.
Anyway, I'd love some privacy, but I don't know that we can get it back.
Well, no. We chose not to. We didn't even realize we chose it. We evolved with... I think there was a good medium with communication technology in the early 2000s where you had the flip phone. Okay, I still can call you, text you, you know, where are you at, blah, 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 meet me here. But you didn't have that computer aspect. And even when we did first integrate computers into a phone, the very first iPhone wasn't a marketing tool, not like it is today. Not that it is. Data became valuable once people embraced the modern computer in their pockets. We have more technology in our pockets than Neil Armstrong had going to the moon. Facts. And that technology is used to gather data to sell to third parties to make money on their end by giving you a free app. So here's the thing. Americans, if you really value security, give up your cushy lifestyle with your phone. Go back to paying with cash, you know, because credit cards are just digital too.
Some of that world doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't because there was no point to it.
The world moved on, and therefore you have to also.
Yeah. There's no more payphones now because of cell phones. But you know what? That's because there was no demand for it. If people stop using the technology, there will be a demand.
So if you go back and listen to Stalton City Limits, like the last, I don't know how many episodes, last 5 episodes, we've been really heavy on the economy and basically the trend of the economy where the ultra wealthy, the pendulum that swings, they've kind of welded it on their side.
There's no ebb and flow. It's just ebb. It's just ebb and the fuck. And so many people are waiting for the flow. And I'm not talking about SNAP benefits. I'm talking about like real honest blue-collar jobs that, I mean, just Hammy was talking about a firefighter having to work at his grocery store for supplemental income. That's why is someone serving such an important civic role having to be reduced to working at a, no offense to grocery store workers like myself, but having to work at a grocery store just to make ends meet for what I'm assuming is a modern-day middle-class family? You know,
to me, they shouldn't have to. I hate the way the in-stage capitalism is playing out. And therefore, I've always been like, okay, something's eventually going to kick off organically. I don't think it's going to be political. There's not going to be...
It's going to be grassroots. You know, it's going to be something that a bunch of people or some people get together and it's like, hey, we got to do something. It's kind of like how these rallies and marches start. It's like, well, people want to do something. We're just waiting for someone to organize
it. To the point with the SNAP benefits, the conversation is, well, will people be looting on the other side of this? If they lose Section 8, if they lose SNAP, will there be a lot of looting?
Well, if poverty breeds crime.
Well, hold on. Probably there will be if there are no SNAP benefits and there is no Section 8. Yeah, there's probably going to be looting.
You're promoting poverty.
Is that enough to kick off what I'm talking about? Something that's enough to foster in some actual real change? Because politics is theater, and I used not to understand that. You used to talk about political theater. I kind of could draw the analogy into view where I kind of understood what you were saying, but I see it so much better now.
The point I was talking about is if you got the court transcripts of Trump and Rudy Giuliani's original challenge to Dominion and voting suppression or voting, you know, all that, they had no evidence. It was classic. It's like McCarthyism with communism, okay? It's meant to scare you. It's meant to make headlines. They want you to think that they have a case because they want to place that doubt because if you're not with us, you're against us. That's their stance. Lawyers don't get disbarred like Rudy Giuliani did. Look at what he did to earn that disbarment. It's stupid because people just read the newspaper. Or
I don't totally agree with you on this one. So, but keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost every single trial because they failed to produce solid evidence. But they kept on saying they had it. It's just like the Republican health care when they were going against Obama. Hey, listen to us. Well, you guys got the power and did nothing. You gave us a Trump coupon in, 2017, which was ridiculous.
Once they had the House and the Senate. Once Republicans had the House and the Senate, they had no ideas to fix it. I think it kind of fell in their lap, and they didn't expect to have the House and Senate.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, political theater. They're saying they had a plan, but they didn't, just to oppose the one that came for them because they didn't have – it was something that they were against. They'd rather unite people through having a common enemy than unite people by having a common goal.
Let me put it back on its face. Was the 2020 election stolen? I think maybe it was, but I also think it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No one is coming to save you, the worker, the person of average means. No one is coming to save you.
The only thing that I see causing any sort of riots would be if Trump and the current administration do something to prolong the midterms.
We can make a bet right now,
the midterms turn out.
Well, okay. my point is the wealth disparity. It kind of doesn't matter as long as the person of average means still gets a fair social contract. Well, we're not getting a fair social contract now. So what we're doing is we're driving towards the edge of a cliff, let's just say. Now, how fast are we going? You know, does it really matter if we're barreling 100 miles an hour towards the edge or 10 miles an hour? Because once we crest over that edge, I feel like we're already at the point of no return. But once we tip over the edge, that's when finally something kicks off.
Well, dude, look back in the Industrial Revolution when we didn't have workers' rights, what workers did and how they formed unions. That's kind of what you're talking about.
Well, to give people like a little pat on the back and say, oh, you know, we just hang in there and things will be all right. And then when the power bill triples, okay, and then when you can't get access to the health care you need, no matter how hard you try, even when you have insurance.
Yeah, which is skyrocketing now thanks to apparently the new Republican bill. Well, I know several insurances are changing drastically.
But it's just a subsidy. It's just a subsidy. Either way.
It's a subsidy that's needed. That's the very least we could give people, isn't
it? Should
the
coverage cost so much in the first place?
You know what?
Should the hospital be able to charge so much in the first place?
Until we change that, the subsidy is needed. Don't you agree?
Okay, until we change that.
There we go.
But we shouldn't be able to have a $400,000 two-level spinal fusion surgery.
Oh, no, no,
okay,
no.
Let's cap that at about $80,000.
Yeah.
Well, and even that's plenty of money.
Yeah.
But the $400,000 shit, let's stop.
I swear to God, if I were you...
And that's
dude,
not a stretch.
Yeah, I would just be like, cut it off. Cut off my back. I don't care. I'll be a head in a jar. It's like, it just gets so frustrating hearing about it from you, and just another setback in the medical chain of punning patients that they rather charge than actually help.
You're coming with no context. For people that don't know, I've been trying to get lumbar disc replacement, which has been really tough to get. I would be okay with a fusion if it was a quality fusion, okay, using the correct hardware. You hear about people that had back surgery their back was never good from then on.
Well, I heard knees and
they
hips.
Got the wrong hardware.
Oh.
That never really stood a good chance of being strong. Like, they just kind of got desperate because they were hurting. They got cornered into...
They got something cheap.
Well, they got in with a surgeon who said, I can do a surgery, and they're like, yeah, I need that. I need help.
And something tells me the finances came into that decision.
Oh, well, yeah, it would too. Yeah. That would too. Yeah, the cost of, even with, quote, health insurance, of what I've tried to accomplish.
And you work for a hospital system. Keep that in mind. You don't have health insurance that's just like whatever. You have health insurance designed for those health providers that's drastically changing next
but
year.
But no one at my hospital system performs the surgery I want. And that has been a really big problem. And I can't be the only one. So there's lots of people out there trying to get help that they need and they know they need.
Mm-hmm.
And even with insurance, what you're saying should be good insurance, at least shouldn't be total
shit.
You'd
think if a hospital can't take care of their own, what the hell you think they're going to do to you?
A lot of people are going to wind up in situations where even though they had the insurance, they need to cut a check for 50 grand or whatever. It's, and the way their finances have been, they probably can't cut the check.
No.
I mean, it's not reasonable to...
There
to,
is
to
no
expect.
Check. It's just a check to help alleviate the debt they're swimming in, which, you know, has snowballed because they haven't been able since.
So anyway, I've been kind of wondering, I felt, and I've thrown this guesstimate out before, but I feel like a little over 50% of people now can't really afford what we would consider to be the basics, even though they work full-time. And so we're hearing about it more. It's all over TikTok. It's all over short reels on really any social media. People are struggling.
Well, every profession, if you look back in the 80s and 90s, you look at the average salary of most professions, like truckers, for instance. In 1980, I think the truckers made an equivalent to like $149,000, whatever that was, like $39,000 back there in 1980. Now, even though it's risen since 1980 to $72,000, that's not enough buying power. Like, they were literally doing the same job, possibly easier, in 1980 than today.
Well, you're more micromanaged now.
Yeah.
It probably is tougher. Yeah, there's an expectation that you're going to provide more productivity.
Yeah, yeah, for less buying power from your salary, like two times less from what you could have bought in 1980, which is just like...
The resources are there. We could take care of everybody's health care needs.
Oh, we
can
take
have
care
the
of-
resources, the hunger, the housing. Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah.
Now, should you have to work for it? Okay, fine. Most people are fine with that. They're okay with that.
It's just,
but what's happening now is you're going and busting ass and it's not giving it to you. It's not giving you what should be a base living standard for America.
And
especially the young kids. Holy shit.
If you need help, there should be a system in place to make that temporary. And that's not just saying good luck to you after 6 months. That's like, hey, you're taking our financial help. We want to take your participation in getting you employed so you don't need it anymore. You know? Because I feel like we serve one problem by exacerbating another. We don't really help these people. We fix the immediate concern, hunger, housing, you know, what you mentioned, things like that. But what's getting them out of that rut? What are we doing there?
There's not enough opportunity to go around.
There's
As I've said before.
Yeah.
If you take 100 people with the same hardworking capability and ethic and send them out all to provide for themselves, not everyone's going to succeed because there aren't enough opportunities to go around at this point. There's jobs. There's plenty of jobs, but they're shitty jobs. They're low-wage jobs. And that's what's happening to millennials. The concept that, well, they just don't want to work.
They don't have an incentive to.
They don't have an incentive.
Yeah.
They literally can bust ass, work overtime and a second job. They're still not getting a house.
Yeah. $39,000 could, you know, a year could help you afford a house and a car in 1980. $39,000 today, well, you'd just be right above poverty level, wouldn't you? If you had a family of four, you would be poverty stricken.
You could live at home, not pay rent, get most of your meals free, except you go out here or there.
Yeah.
But if you're just maintaining the car and a cell phone, I mean, just car maintenance, gas, insurance,
yeah,
a cell phone bill, you could eat through your $39,000, especially, God forbid, you do have some sort of health problem within the year.
Yeah, God, yeah, that would be the trap door.
God forbid you go to a movie at some point. Like,
No, you don't deserve that. That's for rich people.
So
that's what the pricing would have me to implies.
So I guess we're going to keep putting up with it for now. That figure I said, we're a little past 50% where people are really getting pinched economically. I think it has to hit 80% before we kind of see a real change. And I don't know when we're going to get there. I'm in that car I was talking about driving towards the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
There's a big 80% sign right there at the edge of the cliff that we have to go past.
To complete your metaphor here, there's an exit that says midterm elections. Now, we can take that exit and see where it goes.
Now,
maybe it'll avoid the cliff.
But you still think there might be a political answer.
That will be the first thing people do. They'll go out and vote.
Vote's
suppressed, or the vote is, you know, some people have thrown out the idea of Trump's administration may want to continue the shutdown, maybe declare some sort of, you know, do what he can to prolong his absolute Republican power control over Washington, which somehow they still get away blaming the Democrats. You have power of everything. What else you want?
On one hand, Democrats have the, as a collective whole, the power to end the shutdown, but the trade-off sucks.
Yeah. Well,
they have to take people's health care away.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this. It's like, listen, do what we want or else we will slaughter the people who voted for us, pretty much. And they're like, your people, dude.
It's a hell of a catch-22, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and the midterm elections are going to reflect it.
It's like, yeah, we could continue this benefit now, but in 2 months, when everyone loses their health care, what have we really even accomplished?
That's one issue Republicans drag their feet to Democrats. Universal health care is more popular than ever in America. And if elections don't make something...
You want me to pull out the poll numbers? I don't have them. But yeah, it is more...
70%. And I'm sure that's somehow muddled, but I'm pretty sure it's over 50.
I heard 80%. That's...
Now, where was your statistic dated?
And that's the same as my sign at the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
At one time, the majority did not want a universal health care because they had it pretty good with the current setup, and they were able to work within that current
and
setup.
And they feared that, they were believing it's oppressive, it's makes you, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it was working, and they didn't want to mess that up. Well, now it's not working, and they're willing to take the risk of a change.
Yeah, they didn't see the foresight of, people are naturally greedy, so the bigger this industry gets, the more greedy people get. And when it comes to a necessity like health care, greed should be outlawed. It only hurts. It never helps. People say like, it breeds competitiveness. Listen, this is a necessity. It's not a product. This is something everybody needs at some point in their life, and it shouldn't come down to economic status.
Anyway, Todd still somewhat believes in a political answer. I believe in maybe a political stopgap or something, like something to kind of kick the problem down the road just a little bit further, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's just the practical answer, because people aren't going to take to the streets first thing.
No.
People aren't that organized.
Yeah, they're not going to. They have to be starving.
Yeah. In other words, they have to give up hope. And if those midterms elections don't provide hope, we'll see. Hope is what keeps people playing the game. If they're hopeless, they're not going to want to work. There's no incentive. They're not going to want to play the game. There's no incentive. It always was a trade-off. Now there isn't.
What do you think about the concept of, all that's by design? They are creating the crisis so that we have to accept the solution, whatever they've already cooked up as the solution.
Can I be honest with you? That's backwards conspiracy theorism. In other words, you're taking the result and trying to piece it together backwards of, they were planning this, they were planning this. And before you know it, you have the most brilliant, nefarious cabal the Earth has ever seen, if that's the case. They'll be so flawless in their design. This can't be a plan A. I'm sure there were many drafts of the plan, but this is the one they went with.
And that's what Todd thinks about the theory.
Yeah. Try managing people. You realize that theory is damn near impossible. If you do it, it's going to come out in this digital age of information. And even if you didn't do it, AI is going to make you look like you did.
Well, lots of layoffs this week.
Rob, give me those layoff numbers.
I did post it to our Facebook, but we're not plugging that here. So
we just did.
Did we?
You just said it.
What?
That's a plug. The Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, find us on Rumble. Listen to us on Rumble where we're at right now.
This is a good introduction. We try to be serious, but with more of a off-kilter comedic tone. It's kind of a survival mechanism at this point. We know economically America's not doing too well. Politically, we're divided. You know, sometimes you just need to take a break from that sort of thing.
Staunton City Limits on RSS.
Check it out.
100 episodes.
And more.
Some serious, some completely off-the-wall spitball humor.
We typically notate which is which.
We really don't.
Yeah. We should.